All right, that's just some informational stuff. If you're with me, you've got your Bibles, Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 and then go over to 1 Peter 2. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord God called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So then turn over to 1 Peter 2, and I think you'll catch the parallels between these two passages. One talking to the people of Israel, and now one talking to us as the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Let's pray as we dig into the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we, those of us in this room this morning, those of us who call Valley our church home, those of us who are true believers in Christ and have become a part of your church, a part of your people, we now belong to you. We belong to you, Lord Jesus. And we exist to be a kingdom of priests to serve you in this world. And so, Lord, as we unpack that this morning, as we look at that, which came out of both those texts we read this morning, Lord, I pray that you would fill our minds with understanding about who we are as your church, your people, and fill our hearts with a desire to live as this kingdom people in the world in such a way that people see how great and glorious you are and how amazing it is to have received your grace and mercy and to live now in your grace and mercy as your kingdom people, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name, Lord, that we pray. Amen. So Peter starts off, and both in that Exodus passage and in 1 Peter, the context is the people are in the wilderness. The people are in exile, if you will. They're strangers. They're being formed in the Old Testament. They're being formed into this holy nation, this priesthood of believers, these followers of God. And in the same way, we who know Jesus now are being formed into this new community, and we have been given a new mission. And so we are Jesus' sent kingdom people. That's what Moses was saying to the people of Israel, and that's what Peter is saying to the church that he's writing to in 1 Peter 2. And we have an everyday mission to live for our King and to shine the brightness and glory of his kingdom and his grace into the world. That's who we are as church. That's what church is. And so we're going to dig in a little bit. And so a way to, and this isn't unique to me, I stole this, but church is a family of missionary servants and disciple makers of King Jesus. The church is meant to be a kingdom outpost, shining the light of the glory of our King and his gospel realm, his kingdom, into the darkness of our neighborhoods and cities and the nations. We are a gospel community on mission with King Jesus to our time and town and beyond. We are the people who have been called according to Jesus' purpose, living for the advancement of his kingdom in glory in this world. And so as we kind of come in, and we're going to unpack just two things this morning out of 1 Peter 2, that we, as King Jesus' sent missionary people, we are a royal priesthood. We're going to examine what that means. And we are a holy nation. We're going to examine what that means in just a minute. And so as we come to that, Peter is telling the church in 1 Peter that we are strangers and exiles. What does he mean? He is telling us that we are a people in this world who now march to a different drummer. Jesus and his kingdom purpose now defines us. We are new in the sense that we have a new purpose, a new mission in life. So who then are we, and what are we here for as Jesus' church? We are the people whom God has redeemed out of bondage to sin and death, and through whom Jesus is now working to bring the gospel blessing, his gospel blessing, to all the nations of the world. And so when we think of ourselves as a church, we should automatically think back to Genesis 12, where God called Abraham to come and out of being a pagan. He saved Abraham. That's what Genesis 12 is. He came and he redeemed Abraham, brought Abraham to himself, and said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Go to the country I'm going to send you to. Go, and I'm going to bless you. And the reason I'm going to bless you is so that you will be a blessing. And through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. Through you, Abraham. And we get down through the years, and Abraham has Isaac, and Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's name is turned to Israel. And they go down to Egypt, and they grow under slavery in Egypt to be millions of people, and God makes them into a holy nation to serve his purposes. And that's where we come, read that passage in Exodus 19. That kind of brings you up through that of the mission of God in redeeming his people and then setting us up to live in such a way that we bring glory to him as the King of Kings and as our Savior. And we show what it's like to live as his kingdom people, blessed in this world. So that's what we're going to take apart this morning. So we are King Jesus' sent missionary people. What does this mean? What does this look like? First, we're going to look at we are a royal priesthood. And that means we are gospel, good news, servants of the King. That's who we are. So Peter says this, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, living stone is Jesus Christ. If you come to him, Jesus Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen is precious. So as we've come to Jesus, we now belong to Jesus. He's now saved us and redeemed us and brought us into his family. You yourselves are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That is worship, and we'll see that in just a second in the text. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. So Peter is describing the church here using Old Testament illustrations. And so this morning we're going to look at two of those living illustrations of church from Exodus 19, 4 through 6, which is what Peter is quoting when he says we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation. And those are the two we're going to look at. And really what we're getting at here is the theology of the church. What is the church supposed to be and to do? We are the people of God, and we have a mission that God has sent us on in this world. Israel is called to be a priestly kingdom. For the whole nation of Israel to be priestly, it means as a community, they are to make the Lord known and call their neighbors and the nations to repentance and faith in God as their only God and Savior. So in other words, our life together in a local church is to commend others to the glory and grace of our King and His kingdom, and to help them know how they can be a part and become a part of Jesus' kingdom people in this world. So let's think about that. What was the job of priests among the people of Israel? They stood in the middle, right? Between God and the people of Israel. And as such, they had a twofold task. First of all, was teaching the word or the law of God to the people. That was what priests did. They revealed God, who He was, what He was about, by the teaching of the word to people. That was their task. They were responsible to make God known, His person, His will, and His ways to the people, and not just the people of Israel, but to the nations around Israel. That was the job of the priests in the Old Testament. The second task that they had was bringing the sacrifice of the people to God. So they did the work of atonement so that people could come into a relationship with a holy God through the sacrifices, through repentance and faith. Repenting of their old gods, repenting of the stuff in this world that they were living for, and turning to the one true God in faith, trusting Him to save them and to redeem them and to bring them into His family. That's what priests did in the Old Testament. And so now, if you notice, we're being called, the whole church, which church just means ecclesia, the gathered people of Jesus. That's what church means. It's a people, not a place. So church, the whole church is to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. So think about that. So the job of a priest was to bring God to the people and bring the people to God. And as God's people in this world, the people of Israel had the task of bringing the knowledge of God to the nations and of bringing the nations to the means of atonement with God. And in this role, Israel failed, but the true Israel, Jesus Christ, succeeded. And now, in the new covenant, as His kingdom people, we now are empowered to fulfill our calling as God's people, God's priests in this world, that Israel was never able to fulfill. This is what Peter's talking about when he says that we are the people of Jesus, the church, a royal priesthood. Now, I'm kind of Captain Obvious sometimes when I read the Bible and when I preach, but I just want to point out to you that Peter's not telling the church that we will be these things once we get to heaven, or once we get morally perfect, or once we get, he's saying you are this right now. You're a kingdom of priests to serve me in my gospel purposes in this world. And I'm empowering you with everything you need to live that way, to be this kingdom of priests, to be my church. And so, just as Israel became this kingdom of priests and was supposed to be these kingdom of priests to represent God to the nations, and to represent how to get right with God to the nations, that's our job today as a church and as a local church as well. So what we want to look at is a couple of things, a couple of passages that kind of help us with this. So that's the passage from Exodus 19. You will be for me a kingdom of priests, not in heaven, but right now. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. And we get to a holy nation in just a second. So Israel, this is a quote from John Durham in his commentary in Exodus, as a kingdom of priests, is Israel committed to the expansion throughout the world of the ministry of Yahweh's presence? Think about that for a second. We are the people who know God through Jesus Christ. And it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory, the Bible says. And so our job is to go out into the darkness to represent the one true and living God and His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to people. That's why we exist. That's what it means to be a royal priesthood. We represent the King, and we serve Him, and we help people come to know Him as King and could see what he's like by the way that we live. So, royal means king, priesthood means representatives, ambassadors between the king and other people, ministering the new covenant in people's lives. And so, the priesthood of Jesus is then a missional function, whereas we are all called to be servants of God and of all peoples. Peter is echoing the words of Jesus, who said that we as his church hold the keys to the kingdom. We know the king, and we know what it's like to live in his kingdom. And so as we represent Jesus and we represent the gospel to the world, both in proclamation and in the way that we live, people will come to know Christ. That's what it means to have the keys of the kingdom, as Jesus taught in Matthew 16. Forgiveness will flow through us to people who don't know Jesus because we live as a kingdom of priests in this world. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What a cool calling we have to be Jesus' representatives, the one that we love more than anything else, the one that who we delight in more than we delight in anybody else. We get to represent him, not just individually, but together, corporately, as a community of people called the church. That's what Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5. It just kind of look at this and think about it as, we are a royal priesthood. We are Jesus' kingdom servants in this world. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live, that's us, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We've been captured, Paul is saying, by the love of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been brought back into the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is a community of love. And so that love of Christ that we have now experienced controls us so that we want to live for Christ and see other people come into the love of Christ. That's what Paul's saying. That's what it means to have been saved and redeemed and become the people of Jesus. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for Jesus and for others coming to know Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. I used to live for a lot of different things, my own kingdom, my own glory, but I don't live for that anymore. I live for Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. We belong to him. We've been reconciled to Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, we're blessed in order to be a blessing. We're redeemed in order to have the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God, not just so me individually can enjoy that, but so that we want other people to enjoy being reconciled to God. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, he's going to describe that ministry now. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's good news, right? We could share that this afternoon with somebody. Did you know that God, because of what Jesus has come and what he did, his life, his death, God has been holding off judgment from this world in order so that you might come to repentance and faith in Jesus and be reconciled to God so that you won't have to face the coming wrath of this God. He put it aside. He's not counting. Right now, you could say this to anybody you meet today or tomorrow. Did you know God's not counting your sins against you right now? But there'll be a day when he does. Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, those of us who have already been redeemed, who have already been reconciled to God, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so we as Jesus' people in this world get to point people to him and what he's done on their behalf, not counting their sins against them, but telling them you could be reconciled to God and you could be reconciled to God today. And we do that again. It's yes, individually, but we're supposed to do that as a community of people. That is what should characterize us as a church. The gospel message and getting the gospel message out. That is what should characterize us. That's what it means to be a royal priesthood. We serve Jesus in his kingdom purposes, not our own purposes anymore in this world. And his kingdom is a kingdom of love. So we get to live in the love of Christ, and then we spread the love of Christ. That's who we are as a church. That's a royal priesthood. Second is a holy nation. Israel was also to be a holy nation. This means a community that is set apart, distinct, because they live no longer for self, but for their great God and Savior King and his kingdom purpose. So our life together of worship and faith and obedience towards King Jesus is supposed to draw our neighbors and our networks and the nations to Christ. We are to live as Jesus' attractive kingdom people. Now, I talk to my sons, and that word attractive I put in there for their benefit, because they tell me how good-looking they are. And I say, yep, you're a chip off the old block. So that's how that works in our house. And you know, how great we're willing to say how great-looking we are and how, you know, attractive we are. We spend a lot of time making ourselves look even more attractive. But if you just want to take that metaphor and move it to the church and who we are as Jesus' people, our job is to make Jesus look attractive. And we don't have to make him. We don't have to add things to Jesus. We just get out of the way and reveal who Jesus is to people. That's what it means to be this kingdom people. We're to be the attractive people who gladly have placed our lives under the authority of Jesus Christ as our King. And we live and seek to live in obedience to him, because that is the way of love, is to live in obedience and submission to our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we live that way, Peter is telling the church in 1 Peter, and God was telling the nation of Israel, as you live that way, people will see and be attracted to you because you're holy, you're different, you're set apart, you're a distinct people. People don't live that way. People live for themselves. People live for their own glory. They don't live for somebody else. We live for somebody else. That's what makes us holy. That's what set us apart. That's what makes us distinct. We're not talking about here, when you see the word holy, we're not talking about self-righteous, self-focused moralism. That's not what we're talking about. To be holy in the Bible simply means to be set apart for God and his purpose. This is what it means to be called saints in the Bible. It does not refer to really religious people or to those who have achieved some kind of higher moral or self-righteous status through spiritual ritual or effort or moral living or miracles. That's not what the word saint or holy means. It means we are people who have been bought at a price, and we are set apart for Jesus and his purposes in this world. That's what holy means. That's what makes us distinct in the world. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. So if we come across self-righteous and think that that's our witness, all that witnesses to is to me and how righteous I am. It doesn't say anything about Jesus. And we're here to say stuff about Jesus. That's true. So, a couple of things you're going to know about being a holy nation. Peter goes on, and there's a couple of things that we'll look at. This is just descriptive now. Peter just goes into description. Okay, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And now he says, this is what it looks like in the world. Okay, so starting with verse, where am I? I'm not on the right page. Here we go. So, first of all, he talks about what it looks like in your everyday life in the world to be a royal priesthood and to be the holy nation of Jesus and Jesus' kingdom people in this world is it's about everyday praise. Everyday praise. To proclaim the King's glory and grace every day. That's what it looks like. That, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that, or so that, you may proclaim the excellencies of him. Another word for excellencies is glory. The glory of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you see how that should make us the most joy-filled people on the face of the planet? Do you see it? We used to live in darkness. We used to bump around and hurt ourselves and live for ourselves. But now we've been reconciled to God. We're new people. We've been redeemed. And we get to enjoy our Lord every single day of our lives. We get to live in his presence. We get to get excited about who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do in this world, because he isn't a dead Lord. He's a living Lord of creation. All authority in heaven and on earth belong to him. And now we are his people. We belong to him. And we've received mercy, which is compassion shown towards the guilty. So the definition of mercy is, we've received that mercy and now we live in that mercy. And now we need to just shout and sing the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his light. So we exist to proclaim and herald his excellencies and his glory in this world. And we know that again, the total direction and focus of our lives is now oriented to Jesus, our King, and his kingdom purposes. The darkness of living as our own King is no longer appealing to our new self. It is still appealing to our flesh, however. We belong to God now. We are the recipients of his mercy right now in this room today. If you know Jesus, his mercy is flowing towards you and towards me right now as I speak. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because Jesus is my shepherd. Psalm 23. And so we get to live in that and we get to live it out. This is so cool, to be the church, to be the people of Jesus, and to live with everyday praise to him in our lives. This week I needed to get reoriented around Jesus and around praising him and worshiping him. And I took a couple of days away. I usually try to get a couple of day retreat where I'm just out, me and my Bible and a prayer journal. Once a month I try to do that. And I've been a while and I really needed to this week. And I knew I needed to get reoriented to this purpose of God, to proclaim the King's glory and grace, and to live in his presence and in the praise of him with my life. So I got away and just started reading the Word. And I read the Word in two places very deliberately, because I wanted to get reconnected with God, right? Get re-excited about who he is and what he's doing. The best place to do that is the Psalms. The Psalms are about the glory of Christ. That's what they're all about. If you're low on the praise factor, you're not really living in the glory of Christ and worshiping him and in a passionate, deep way, go to the Psalms. Go to the Psalms, because they're about the glory of Jesus Christ, who he is and who he will be on your behalf. And that's what I did. And then I went to Acts, because Acts says, okay, I'm living in this presence of King, but I want to proclaim his excellencies. I want to be on mission with him in this world. And that's what the book of Acts will get you oriented to. Living for King Jesus, living as his kingdom people in this world. That's what Acts is all about. So I'd recommend that if that's where you're at this morning. We belong to God now. We are the recipients of his mercy, his loving compassion shown to guilty sinners. God, the Savior King, has rescued us and entrusted us with the message of reconciliation found in Christ alone. and we live no longer for ourselves or to build our own little kingdom on earth, but rather for him who died and was raised. Great quote by John Stott on worship. John Stott was a pastor in England for many years, head of the Association of Evangelicals, National Association of Evangelicals. He says this: worship involves witness, the factor which unites us in the name of God. For what is worship but to glory in his holy name, to praise, to bless, or to stand in awe of? And what is witness but to proclaim the name of the Lord to others? These expressions are found in the Psalms, and it is in the Psalms that the proper combination of worship and witness is most clearly and commonly found. Worship is worth-ship, an acknowledgement of the worth of Almighty God. Worship which does not beget witness is hypocrisy. We cannot acclaim the worth of God if we have no desire to proclaim him. All my problems in life, all your problems in life, stem from me thinking that life is about me and my kingdom, rather than knowing that life is all about Jesus and his kingdom and his glory. Listen to a great message from Pastor Paul Tripp on that, where he was just contrasting the kingdom of self versus the kingdom of God. And he was saying that even as followers of Christ, we still wrestle every day and every moment of every day which kingdom we're going to live in and live for every day. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Follow me just means worship me. Don't worship other things. Don't worship yourself. Worship me. That's the pathway to life, Jesus says. And it is true. Any of us who know Jesus know that in this room this morning. So that's everyday praise. We're called to an everyday praise and be an everyday people of praise. And we're called on everyday mission to live as Jesus' kingdom representatives. Beloved, Peter goes on, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. You're a different people. You don't belong to this world anymore. As sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wants us to worship other things and go after and pursue other things with our life rather than Jesus and his kingdom purposes. Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Why do they glorify God after they see our good deeds? Because we live in such a way that it's obvious that any good that's coming out of my life or your life comes from my relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. He says, wage war against your soul. Who does our soul belong to? It belongs to Jesus. So anything that's trying to take us away from Jesus keeps us living no longer for him, but for something else, a different kingdom, usually the kingdom of self. And so we need to be in this battle daily, in order to be on mission with Jesus and living for his kingdom and glory, so that our deeds show that we don't live in the kingdom of this world anymore. We live in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's saying to the church who's under severe persecution in the book of 1 Peter, and what he's saying to the church in America today as well. We need to live on everyday mission, and we don't do that just as individuals. We do that together as local churches. That's what is to characterize our life as a holy nation, a community of people, a local church that lives this way together, is on mission with Jesus in this world together. So I want to just end with just a couple of passages that get at the same things, and we're really not going to go into them. I'm just going to kind of lay them out. And what I want us to do is, we kind of by way of application, is just kind of think through, you know, am I living for the kingdom of Jesus, or am I living for the kingdom of self? And that's not perfectly. I'm not looking for perfection. Neither is Jesus. But what's the direction of your life? And if it's not Jesus, if Jesus hasn't become your life, I would just pray that you would repent even this today. Be reconciled to God and come into this new mission of living as Jesus' kingdom people, which is the pathway of life and joy and satisfaction for your soul. Everyday mission. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Again, just a little commentary. Israel was called by God to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, mediating God's character and will to the rest of the world. They failed, and Jesus' followers now are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be his kingdom witnesses, spreading the good news of the kingdom by proclamation and illustration. King Jesus calls us to be salt and light in the world so that the world might see our good works, how we live our lives, and glorify God our Heavenly Father. Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount are a description of what life looks like when we follow our King, Jesus, seeking to be faithful to him and to the values of his kingdom in a world that God has not yet fully transformed through his Son. We, Jesus' people, his church, are to be kingdom outposts, shining the light of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and his gospel kingdom into the darkness of this fallen world. Salt and life are distinctive. They're penetrating and they're transforming. They're the opposite of decay and corruption and death and darkness. Salt and light are about being life-giving, not life-taking. It is about love and grace and mercy, not selfishness, hatred, and prejudice. That's what it means to be Jesus' kingdom people. We're going to just conclude with Jeremiah 29. I love this passage. It's not, I don't have it for the screen or anything, I don't think. Hey, I do. Never mind. This is what it's saying. We are blessed by God. We have been redeemed by God to be a blessing. And how we do that is we live with Jesus as our King of our lives, and we worship him with our lives, and we live as his kingdom people in this world, distinct, separate, because we live for Jesus' purposes, not our own. That's what Jeremiah 29 gets at. Genesis 12 is all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham, and through the nation of Israel. Now that has applied now to the church. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles, there's exile, that same word as Peter uses, whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. So the people of Israel have been exiled to Babylon. And he's telling them, don't fight against your captors. You don't live in this world anymore. You live for me and my kingdom purposes. You can do that anywhere. Doesn't matter if you're captives. Live for me. Settle down into those communities. Live amongst the people. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find welfare. That's what it means to be church today. We as a church exist to bless the city with the gospel of Jesus Christ that we live in, where God has put us into exile. We're strangers, we're aliens, we're exiles, we're distinct people. And the reason we're distinct people living in Great Falls, Montana, and being a church called Valley, is so that we can bless the city that we live in, that God's planted us in, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Point them to the Savior. Point them to what it means to live in God's kingdom and give them a taste of the glory of knowing Jesus and living with him as our King. That's what it's about. That's our mission. That's what it means to be his kingdom people. Let's bow and pray. Worship team, come on up. Lord, we belong to you, and we want to live for you in every aspect of our lives. And we know, we're all sitting here, I know myself, how often I just slip back into the kingdom of self. And then you make me miserable through your Spirit. And that's a sign, I guess a good sign, that we do belong to you if we are miserable when we're not living for you or living to worship you, but worshiping other things instead. And the Spirit has been given to convict us of those things and to bring us back to Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given, so that we would glorify Jesus with our lives. So Holy Spirit, do that work right now in our hearts that have maybe grown cold or have gone away from you and your kingdom and living as your people in this world. And bring us back. Do it not just individually, but do it together. Make us a true church family that is our missionary servants of your kingdom purpose in this world. To glorify you, Lord Jesus, and to see other people come to know you and worship you like we do. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.